This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Delaney hanging out with you across this great nation. So the Republican convention is coming to a close, and after Donald Trump spoke, it's all about now going after Hillary Clinton and the general election. Some people, if we reflect on what happened at the Republican convention, some people are still talking about Melania and plagiarizing Mrs. Obama. 2008, but maybe even bigger than that is the Vote Your Conscience line on Wednesday that was thrown down by Senator Ted Cruz. He was booed, and I'm sure he's not used to that. He was booed off the stage, basically, when he didn't endorse Donald Trump. And you wonder what's really going on behind the scenes with the Republican Party. I mean, listen. Somebody at one of the networks, and I was watching this, tried to get Nikki Haley to say she wasn't going to endorse Trump. And they kept saying, well, are you going to vote for Donald Trump? And, you know, eventually she said, well, we can't vote for Hillary Clinton. Or however she said it, she sort of danced around us. It was a tepid endorsement. But she said she's going to vote for him. So the deal is either Republicans get on board with that notion, or those votes either go to Hillary Clinton, or they don't vote at all, so that's just a no vote, and numbers drop off. I honestly think what Trump is going to have to do is, of course, he's going to go after Hillary, and that's what you do. You go after your opponent, and vice versa. Once we get through the Democratic convention, which is in Philadelphia next week, then there's going to be more maneuvering there from the Clinton people. But to me, I think what more than anything happens is he's going to focus on some of the issues, make America great again, what's happening, it's stuck in Washington. We saw those themes. We heard that from his kids, too, as well, a little bit. To me, as I said, it was really about Cruz getting revenge, I think, for everything, the lying Ted, for everything that was said about him. He's not that kind of guy that was going to let it go. And so people are asking, why did he say that? Well, the answer is because he was furious over how he was treated by Donald Trump. So the bottom line is Cruz defended his speech to the RNC in which he didn't endorse Trump. He vowed not to say negative things about him, and that was it. He said, I'm not going to say negative things. But, you know, he didn't say I wasn't going to endorse him. He just said I wasn't going to say negative things, and that's pretty much what he did. And then there was this story, and this is fascinating as we peel back the layers and move on from the convention. Then there was this story about Trump and Kasich and the fact that they were at war as to whether the Republican presidential nominee ever wanted the Ohio governor to join the ticket. Because remember, that was floated about, that Ohio is a huge state. You win Ohio, you know how that goes. But Trump's people are saying that there was a Trump Jr. and a Kasich advisor, but the VP offer was never on the table, that it was just completely ridiculous. It was never on the table. And in fact, Jason Miller, who was connected to the Trump campaign, said that it's completely ridiculous. There was never an offer made. It's just made up. And that Governor Kasich is just being a sore loser. And that's it. That he was never asked to be a VP. Never. But Kasich's people say the VP, vice presidential back and forth started when Donald Trump Jr. reached out to Kasich's advisor after Kasich dropped out of the race in May, which could be that he made a phone call. I don't know. This is typical politics, though. And, of course, Kasich was the guy who wasn't there. You know, and that was a big deal that he didn't come to the convention, and there it is, his home state, and he's noticeably absent. So I think that was absolutely one of the big themes too. Kasich not being there in the beginning, the Melania Trump plagiarism thing, if you were taking negative things out of the convention, and then Cruz and what he said right there on the platform and not endorsing Donald Trump. That was really, I mean, that was a gut punch. And they had to think that. I would just think, and see, this is what the RNC is saying, that they expected him to do that, that was going to be a big moment. But he's saying he vowed, so he did tell them, all right, you let me up here, I'm going up here, I'm not going to say negative things about him. So he wasn't going to get up and talk about all the things he talked about when he was running against him. But boy, how interesting is that? You know, yesterday, talking to our pal, Mike Loftus, the comedian, and him saying that he was at an event, he's working on a Kevin James series, and he's a comedy writer and whatnot. He worked on the Anger Management show with the Charlie Sheen on FX, and he talked about the fact that he was at a Hollywood party, like they had a luncheon. And pretty much the idea is that this lunch was at this luncheon with all these well-known Republican star power names, that, hey, we can't get out in front of this for fear of what happens if we say this is how we feel and etc., but we want to all get together and know that each other is there for each other and that we're like-minded people. And it's like he said, how crazy is that, that this has to be some backdoor crazy deal in Hollywood where the conversation is like a secret conversation? What's that about, a secret conversation? I mean, you know, crazy. All right, I'm going to throw this out, too. I'm going to get away from politics for a minute because we are just for grins. I know a lot of you watch the Olympics because there's that American pride thing. Yay, go USA, get some gold medals. And I just was reading a report about, you know, what are they doing in Rio to make sure the people are safe from Zika, because a lot of golfers dropped out, big-name golfers, they were afraid of that. And then I saw this thing about a rower from saying that the water was terrible, that it was, and he grew up, and this is actually somebody who is a rower for India, and he was talking about how he was once terrified of water, and he said the irony is the terrible water in the tiny village he grew up in was terrible, and he's the only Indian rower to make it to Rio, and now he says, now he just laughs out loud because now there's such concerns about the water in Rio, and who would think he'd get to the Olympics, be in a drought-stricken village, deal with terrible water there, and now he's in competing, the, you know, penultimate of his career, and he's competing and worried about the water. They're worried about the water in Rio de Janeiro and what that's, you know, what that's going to be like. Now, they're saying they're cleaning it up, that it's going to be fine, and so there shouldn't be any kind of mass panic over that. But, and they're still now how many weeks away from the Olympics? We're getting closer. I mean, it's almost here. So I'm going to be curious as we get to those opening ceremonies what the conditions are really like. All right, hang with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Do you know that good digestion is your body's first line of defense? Millions of Americans suffer from poor digestion. It shows up in the form of heartburn, acid reflux, GERD, irritable bowel syndrome, indigestion, constipation, diarrhea, and many other symptoms. Healthy digestion relies on armies of friendly bacteria. These good bugs keep bad bugs in check. Probimune, a new, uniquely developed probiotic, is scientifically proven to get to your gut and deliver the benefits of improved digestion. Probimune is an immune system booster and a digestive health enhancer. It's simple to use, and most importantly, you will feel Probimune working, soothing, and relaxing the gut. Get yours today by visiting younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Again, that's 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off your first order.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Talking about the election and wrapping up the Republican convention, moving on to the Democrats. You know what the focus is, and I said this before, the focus is absolutely, and I'm sure many of you would agree with me on this, the focus is going to be those presidential debates. Hillary versus Trump, Trump versus Hillary, that's it, baby. I mean, you know, this is it. So Trump has done his final day performance. We move on, and Cruz still in the news defending his decision not to endorse Trump. He told the Republican National Committee that he would not trash Donald Trump. He didn't quite say it like that, but he was booed off the stage. He wouldn't endorse him. He said, vote your conscience. That obviously was a direct shot at Donald Trump, so he didn't trash him, but vote your conscience pretty much tells you, oh, are you really going to vote for him? So there's no getting around that. Even Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson, who took to the podium earlier in the week, said about Ted Cruz's Wednesday night deal, swallow your pride. He said, swallow your pride, brother. And, you know, this is what's happening. Of course, people are reacting that way. And Robertson said, I was behind Cruz. He lost, I lost. Now he's out. Once you do that, you need to swallow your pride. You need to move on. This is the one we want. We don't want Cruz. We want this one. You need to get behind him. And he's saying, just because Donald Trump is not as conservative as I am, it doesn't mean I can't work with him, for crying out loud. And, you know, there is something to that, and that's what the Republicans have to do. That's what, you know, the party shooting itself in the foot over pride is, I agree with Robertson, is just stupid, because if you want to elect a Republican, this is what you have. You've got Donald Trump. And if you say, well, I'm not, vote for your conscience. If you're not going to vote, if you're going to vote for your conscience, and you're not going to vote Republican, are you voting for Hillary Clinton? And you're a conservative and you're voting for Hillary Clinton. So it was all about defending himself on Thursday. Really, that was what Ted Cruz was about. He said in that speech I did last night, and I was reading the Washington Post earlier in the day on Thursday, he said, I did not say a single negative word about Donald Trump. And I'll tell you this morning and going forward, I don't intend to say negative things about Donald Trump. He told the people that he began his speeches by congratulating Trump on securing the nomination, and he assured the attendees that he won't be voting for Clinton in the fall, but he repeated, although he would listen to Trump's speech, he wouldn't be endorsing him. So, you know, he said the pledge was not a blanket commitment that if you go and slander and attack Heidi, that I'm not going to nonetheless come out like a puppy dog and say thank you very much for maligning my wife and maligning my father. So, see, I mean, here's the thing. Maybe you shouldn't have given that speech. I don't know. I was reading this as well, and this was another little gem from the Washington Post. You know, I read everything on all sides of everything so I can get a sense of flavor of what's being said out there besides what we hear in here and other places. And there's a woman who wrote three biographies of Ronald Reagan, pre- and post-presidential life, and wrote the story of the 1976 Republican National Convention and said the drama of the moment was when President Gerald Ford clinched the nomination and Reagan's impromptu speech endorsing him, that grew along with Reagan's, you know, popularity and the memory of conservatism. And when Craig Shirley was asked to rate Cruz's speech, Shirley said that it was too early to judge, but maybe the best thing to do is not to address the convention because there were so many problems with it. And it's an interesting point. I mean, is it in the interest of Cruz and his supporters to do that? You could say, in his defense, Trump said terrible things about him, about his wife, his father, just like he said, attacked his manhood and whatnot. But for political ambition's sake, I don't know, might have been better just to scrap it. Just scrap it and not do it. So Trump accepting the nomination, Clinton getting ready for next week in Philadelphia. There's a public rally next Friday in Philly, and that's where the Democrats are holding their convention. And that rally takes place in the mall area the day after she formally accepts the Democratic Party's nomination for president. So they're chaotic right now on the ground there. They're waiting for finishing touches on what that convention is going to look like. For their roster, Senator Elizabeth Warren is going to speak. Senator Bernie Sanders is going to speak. Vice President Biden, President Obama, First Lady Michelle Obama, former President Bill Clinton, of course, Chelsea Clinton, and then Hillary Clinton and other people in between will speak at the Democratic convention. And when you size up these conventions, they are definitely pep rallies. I mean, that's what it's about. It's a pep rally for the party. It's a pep rally for the person. That's the main deal here. It's all about that. It's about feel good. We want you to feel good. We're the ones. Vote for us. And then we all move on and we're good. But there can be a vast divide. And it seems like with the Republicans, there is a vast divide, which doesn't get shored up. Let's see what happens in those. I'm going to go back to it again, in those presidential debates, in those presidential debates. Huge, needless to say. As we motor along here, I'm going to veer from the political appetizer of the moment and talk about this situation with Roger Ailes. Is this the craziest thing? This is a guy who, I mean, could he have more power? Could he have been more the fair-haired son, practically, of Rupert Murdoch? And you look at what's happening at Fox, and then you hear these stories of what's coming out about Roger Ailes and sexual harassment or, you know, whatever. And I how does this all end up? I mean, how does this started because Gretchen Carlson was unhappy, obviously, with what was going on with her, and then boom, the whole cover comes down. So I'm assuming too that you know, she knew there was allies in this situation over what was going on with Roger Ailes, that she wasn't the only one, and Roger Ailes helped build the Fox network into the juggernaut it is as far as cable news is concerned, right? So now, with this allegations of the sexual harassment, the prospect of the network losing one of the most powerful TV executives in disgrace has to be shaking up investors, because the 21st Century Fox stock dipped significantly on Wednesday. Now, we know there's shifts in TV watching, and now there's a changing of the guard, so maybe in the end somehow that changes. The network was started to get some viewers with the Megyn Kelly show, and the O'Reilly factor is still popular. There was a huge boost in Fox News ratings in the second quarter, and of course part of that was capitalizing on the whole Donald Trump deal and the presidential race. And you think about this, and it shows you how fast time flies if you measure it according to what you've seen or who you've heard or what you've watched. But can you believe O'Reilly, who's 66 years old, his show is in its 20th year, and boy, that's something. And they talk about Megyn Kelly as being the future of Fox, that they put her on at 9 o'clock Eastern in the evening because Roger Ailes especially saw her as that gap to the new generation of Fox viewers and just kind of extending the dominance. But then you had Megyn Kelly supposedly telling investigators that she got unwanted sexual advances from Ailes. And so that gives the Murdochs the power or the leverage to oust him and make way for whoever else is new, because he's got sons. He's got a son, James, who is certainly could slide into that spot. He's got another son, Lachlan, also, who are there and could take over. So that seems likely. That's probably what would happen in this scenario. I mean, never say that it's definite, because it's not at this point, but I bet the fatigue over the Ailes situation has just amped up to an unbelievable level. All right, stay with us. Much more happening as we turn away, then come back to you in just a moment here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one use the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Next guest here on America Tonight. She's in our virtual green room. It's another one of our continuing segments on It's Your Business. She's written a book called Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. Oof, that sounds good to me. Meredith Elliott Powell joins us. Hey, Meredith, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. This virtual green room is rocking.
That's right. We were going to put some Red Bull in it for you, but I think you don't need any.
that's probably true.
So I love the title. It intrigues me. Own It, Redefining Responsibility. Why do we need to redefine responsibility in companies?
Such a great question. You know, when I decided to write the book and I went to my publisher, he said, you cannot put responsibility in a title. Nobody wants to be responsible. Nobody will read it. And I said, well, that's exactly my point. It's why we need to redefine it. And in my opinion, we see responsibility. I say the word and you can feel the energy suck out of the room. We see it as like a burden, something that is being done to us. The purpose of my book was to redefine it because it is your power. It is your path to freedom. It's where once you take responsibility, the path and the choice is yours to do anything you want in your life.
Yeah, boy, and that is so true, whether it's personal or professional. But when you talk about responsibility in a work environment, when you say redefining it, does it also mean clearly having better roles for people or understanding their strengths? You know, that's a big deal now. What is somebody strong at on the team, and how do we define leadership and all of these terms that fly around the room like we're in Poltergeist and it's the furniture that's flying around and they're just words. So how do we make those words make sense when you're in a company and you're trying to do that? You're trying to figure out the right roles.
Well, you know, in today's world, whether it be personal or professional, let's just talk about in a professional environment. You know, somewhere along the line, we made a shift where we all feel very out of control, and we're waiting for a leader to coach us, or somebody to give us a job, or somebody to promote us, or somebody to mentor us. And in redefining it, it's really about saying, what do I want to be? What are the skills that I need to get there? And how can I take responsibility to make sure that I learn and grow and invest in my company so my company is willing to turn around and invest in me?
Yeah, well said. I read the book. I love the book. And one of the things that you talk about that's pretty powerful is you talk about the workforce in general and why it's important to be engaged. You know, you look at a workforce and it's fully engaged. If you have a fully engaged workforce, it's the greatest competitive advantage you have left. That's pretty powerful. Why is it the greatest competitive advantage?
You know, I would go so far as to say that it's pretty much the only one. I wrote a book called Winning in the Trust and Value Economy, all about the shifts in this economy and the fact that the world changed after 2008, that date that's burned in our memory. And basically, you know, right now, the very fact that I am in a virtual green room talks about the changes in this economy. We can be anywhere, sitting at home, in our underwear, Googling until our heart is content, and have everything we need, anything we want to buy. We can buy it anywhere in this world, anytime we want to. So this is an economy where what you sell has become a commodity, but how you sell it is your competitive advantage. Now, if you own a business, how you sell it would be so easy if you were the one who interacted all the time with your customers. But more often than not, it's your employees. So you are dependent for your success and your growth in creating an amazing customer experience, which begins with the relationship that you have with your employees, how engaged they are. And when you look at employee engagement, I mean, it impacts the bottom line. It impacts the customer experience. It impacts cash flow. It impacts productivity, efficiency. I could go on and on. If I had to tell business owners to focus on one thing, as they look at improving, if they had to pour their resources into one thing, I would say get the greatest workforce you can get, and you will succeed in business today.
Yeah, and piggybacking on what you just said, one of the pretty provocative things that you go on to talk about in your book is, and it plays right off of that, is you think the workforce and having it fully engaged and ready to roll is so important that you say it's more important than the relationship you have with your customers. Wow. Is that because the customers will come and they'll be satisfied if the workforce is?
Completely. You know, I say that this is an economy where the relationship that you build with your employees is more important than the relationship that you build with your customers. And yeah, that is provocative because it makes most people go, what did she say? Because all we hear about is customer experience, makes customer happy. But the customer's experience is dependent upon how much your employees care. I mean, we've all had those stories where we walked in someplace, they've paid bukus for advertising, we're walking in there to buy whatever we want to buy, and the employee ruins the experience for us. They're either complaining about their job, they don't have the knowledge, they're not interested or whatever. That in an economy where consumers have a choice, I say that customers are almost looking for a reason not to do business with you. And a bad interaction, not even bad, I don't even have to go that far, a lukewarm interaction with one of your employees just turns people off. You know, the other thing that's crazy is I feel like we have become so void of really great employees. I mean, think of this in your own mind. Like, you go to the grocery store and you get some high school kid who's into it, and he asks you how your day is, if you found everything in the grocery store. You're so blown away by that because we don't experience it anymore. You walk around town and tell everybody.
So not only do you want to engage your workforce to have a great customer experience, but if you do it, you're going to stand out from your competition because it's so hard to come by in today's world.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. I love your grocery store example because I just had that happen to me, and I was so blown away that I told everyone, go there. And he was very sincere. He kept saying, how was your day? What have you done? He asked me the question, what have you done today that was fun? I was like, what? What have I done today that was fun? Are you kidding me? And he was so sincere, and I thought, wow. Even if somebody told him to do it, it certainly didn't seem that way, and it was powerful. Absolutely. It's funny that you say that. So you have a lot of statistics and real-world examples in the book to prove what you're saying, you know, to just add to that and to put more layers on it, I'll say. One of the statistics is this Gallup, and I saw this maybe a month or two ago as well, where according to Gallup, 7 out of 10 workers report that they're checked out. They're checked out, 7 out of 10. That's crazy, Meredith. Is that really true?
You know, it's not only true. I talk about this in the book. I say the book's written in three sections. The first section is the nerd section that has all the stats and all the statistics. The second section is written for the leader on how to build the right culture in today's workforce. And the last section is written for the employee saying, what are you doing waiting for somebody else to engage you? It's your life. It's your career. But in the first section, not only are 7 out of 10 workers disengaged. I mean, I think it's mind-blowing that they're willing to fill out a survey that says, I don't care. I'm not interested. But Gallup went on to report that if we don't start doing something different, that if we as leaders don't begin to understand how the economy's changed, how customers have changed, and employees have changed, that statistic's going to rise in the next couple of years to 84%.
Wow.
That means that 84% of the people who you pay to come to work for you are checked out, disengaged. And I think most business owners would agree that your, you know, staff is your most expensive output, you know? And what your employees are saying, listen hard, is what we're doing as leaders is not working. We need to do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the coolest thing that you found out in writing this book?
You know, wow, that's such a great question. I think the coolest thing that I found out was one I discovered on my own when I really got down there and really started doing the research was the fact that everybody talks about what's wrong with this younger generation. There's just no work ethic. There's no loyalty. There's no anything. And that is not true. So that was a cool thing to really find out. But what I discovered from that was, you know, I grew up in a world where if you went to work, you basically believe that if you worked hard, that company would still be there 30 years from now. You would probably get retirement and a pension and those types of things. And if you didn't work there anymore, it would be your job. It would be your choice to go someplace else. But the coolest thing I think that I found out was the fact that today's workers are less loyal because there's nothing to be loyal to. Pensions are off the table, retirement accounts, mergers and acquisitions can happen at any moment. And I don't care how long your company's been there, no employee believes that 100% guaranteed their job will be there. So as leaders, we need to recognize that with the staples and the traditional things off the table, no wonder employees lack loyalty. And with those things off the table, if we want to create it, we've got to put something else in its place. And that's what I wrote about in the book.
Yep, I absolutely love it. And I would be remiss not to ask you this because I do know there's another layer to you. You have this serious side of researching and finding out all this wonderful information in Own It, Redefining Responsibility. But I found out your wow is that you're a big hiker and you've actually hiked in 14 countries. And how many miles do you think you've hiked in your lifetime?
I have hiked thousands, probably close to 10,000. I don't know. I've hiked, and I'm right now I'm working on my 100 in the national parks to celebrate the national parks 100th anniversary this year.
Wow, perfect way to end this. I would love to go on a hike with you. Could we go like just a couple miles?
Oh, we'll definitely go just a couple miles. Yeah, and I'll put you on my back for the last 10.
Thank you, Meredith Elliott Powell. Pick up her book, Own It, Redefining Responsibility, Stories of Power, Freedom, and Purpose. They can get it on Amazon, right?
Yes, absolutely. They can get it on Amazon.
All right. Love it. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you.
Coronavirus Blood Clot Device Alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to RichMoneyRich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to RichMoneyRich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to RichMoneyRich.com. That's RichMoneyRich.com. Go now. Brought to you by The Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ealy. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Tonight, let's talk about, we started off and we talked about the Republican convention. It's a wrap. And with the wrap, what we've seen is the emergence of Ted Cruz being booed, Melania Trump being called a plagiarizer, and Donald Trump is officially the nominee of the Republican Party in the race for president. So now it's Hillary Clinton. She gets crowned next week in Philadelphia. There'll be some comparisons on all of the, through all the news media, about how the Republicans did versus the Democrats. But I think it's going to be all about just these two going up against each other and how that all comes out. And, how it looks and how it feels and what the American people think and who says, well, I'm not voting for Hillary, who's a Democrat. Well, I'm not voting for Trump, who's a Republican. Do they stay home? What happens with the independents? It's the usual way a presidential election shapes up. So as we're sitting here in our final segment for this hour, I'm going to jump to something else that is just so staggering. The federal debt and the federal debt topping a ridiculous amount. What, $19 trillion for the first time? And that they said that this week. So I mean, actually, at the close of business on Monday, July 18th, if you think about it, a year ago, Congress passed the Bipartisan Budget Act. And what did that do? That was supposed to take care or plug the gap of the what we're seeing with the debt. And the debt is just, I mean, just outrageous. Isn't it outrageous? We never talk about this, right? We have on the show. But to say that we're just have fallen behind that much and how much it's increased is just absolutely crazy. But before the Bipartisan Budget Act, the Treasury had been in a debt issuance suspension period. So that meant that Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew had declared on March 16th of 2015 that during that debt suspended period, the Treasury took an extraordinary measures to prevent the debt from exceeding what was then the legal limit. Unbelievable, huh? I mean, we used to look at that clock. The clock just busted in New York. They just stopped with the clock in New York. It was that bad. I mean, it's just crazy. No one really addresses this, but it's absolutely something I think that is incredibly scary, especially when we have the Chinese that own so much of our debt. What are we doing here? How do we flip this situation around? The government is just too big. It needs an audit of itself, right? Let's talk about that. Let's address that a little bit more. It has been addressed a little bit, but let's address it even more because it's frightening to see that number. I can't even wrap my brain around that 19 trillion plus, plus, plus. I'm nutty. I don't know if this has happened in your neighborhood or not, but I bring it up because I always say America Tonight is a cross-section of what's going on in the United States. But mosquitoes being tested for Zika in Florida. Florida health officials have trapped mosquitoes in an area of Miami-Dade County and are testing them for Zika to confirm whether a woman with the virus could be the first person infected directly by a mosquito bite in the United States. So the Florida's Department of Health and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are not really answering questions about this, but this is frightening. This patient is a woman who lives in Miami-Dade County, and they can't tell you very many details of it, but by saying that, I mean, here we go. And then there's that debate over, well, what is Zika? Remember, we had Luke Vargas on, who was there in Brazil, and said that it was in the favelas. It was in the very, very poor areas, so that the Olympics shouldn't be affected by it because, look, that's over there, and there's the problems with the sewage and the water and all of that. But when you hear these kinds of stories, it doesn't give you great faith in, oh, is that really exaggerated or should we be worried? Bottom line is mosquitoes are carriers. Bottom line is you have to be careful. And I know in my neighborhood they did a mosquito spray, a whole night long thing, and that really cut down on the mosquitoes, the mosquito problem, for fear of what we're hearing. So they're taking no chances because, look, the West Nile thing killed some people in Texas and across the country. So just because we're researching and we're not trying to panic doesn't mean you can't take some prevention, some preventative measures. So I think it's a smart thing for some of these cities to do that. I remember the old days when they used to do the mosquito truck thing. So that's okay. Bring it back. Stay in the house. Whatever. Make sure the pets are inside the house. But if it works, it works, versus somebody getting a disease that we're manipulating and trying to figure out, is it really that bad? Is it not that bad? Is, you know, whatever. You know, that's the deal. Bottom line. All right, so now we move on, and let's talk about something else since we're coming to a close of the hour. Sarah Palin, noticeably, you didn't see much about Sarah Palin. She wasn't around at the convention, but she issued a statement to Breitbart News, the former Alaska governor, of course, and the 2008 vice presidential nominee. So she weighed in on Senator Ted Cruz and his refusal to honor his pledge and endorse Trump. She, in fact, had endorsed Cruz in his bid for Senate, in his long shot bid for Senate. If you remember back in 2012, she watched from afar, I guess, you know, the booing, and she said, for politicians to do this, to break promises. And, I mean, that's true. You know, this is what we say. You vote for somebody and you think, oh, they said they're going to do this and they can't and, you know, whatever. But she says that the broken pledge is pretty much shows the character of Ted Cruz. And he said he was going to do it, and that's the thing. He said he was going to do it, and then he didn't do it, and so he rattled the RNC. But they had to know, and that's what I think, and they had to know that after what was said about his wife and father, that Ted Cruz, who had them along the campaign trail, had his wife along the campaign trail, yeah, they had to think that wasn't going to happen. So breaking the, you know, breaking the promise was, you know, as she said, I guarantee American voters took notice and felt more unsettling confirmation as to why we don't like typical politicians. So that's what she says. That's what we saw from Ted Cruz. The fact that here we go again, that he is a politician, and that's why Donald Trump, this is why Trump has gotten to where he has, because that kind of political status quo has got to go, because it is, as she said, has got us into the mess we're in with America's bankrupt budgets and ramped up security threats, like I was mentioning the debt. So to her point, there is a point of that, of politicians, and we get burned because of their attitude and what they're thinking and whatnot. And so there you go. The Cruz missile, so to speak, has really just landed all over the place, and there's lots and lots of reaction to Cruz, to what he said on the stage of Donald Trump on Wednesday, and the boos were resoundingly heard across the convention floor in Cleveland. What I wonder is, I wonder how that affects him in a bid once that comes back up again for Senate. Will that bite him? Will it not bite him? Do the people of Texas, you know, because by then, are they going to care? Because there are other things that Cruz has done and worked for Texas. Will that not matter, or will it matter? Will it matter at all or not? And I think that's just kind of I just think that's kind of something to watch. So he does that on the convention floor. And does it come back around to bite him when he's got to do that whole re-election thing or not? Wow, what a wild week, no doubt about it, from Cleveland, from the Melania Trump thing to the Cruz thing to the Trump children taking the stage and doing quite well, actually, as far as endorsing their father. And what we saw out of Cleveland, some protests, but nothing completely outrageous, and lots of security. Expect lots of security in Philadelphia as well. Hey, thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight. Remember, you can always hit me up at americatonight.net.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.
866-91-STEEL.